The details behind the Diddy indictment, Taylor Swift's stalkers, Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The RCMP have looked into the matter. And according to this is I think this is CPL. Is that Corporal? They're different up there. Okay, Corporal.
The
Corporal
Mounties.
Troy,
they're called the Mounties.
Savinkoff, a public information officer, said it was essentially a report of a fight and an intoxicated individual. Nobody came forward to us alleging an assault or anything like that, so our investigation was concluded. No charges. I don't know if there's an assault charge coming or anything like that. But Nick is in a little bit of hot water. Ladies and gentlemen, Red Deer Minor Hockey, they're conducting an internal investigation as they are the
Trying to figure out whether they want to retire his number today or next week.
They are the U-17 Dutch AAA AAA North Stars, and he is their head coach and is supposed to return for the 2025-2026 season. In a statement from Red Deer Minor Hockey, quote, "At this time, given that we understand the..." Hold on. I don't want to laugh through this guy. "At this time, given that we understand the matter is being reviewed by local policing authorities, and we are conducting our own internal investigation into the alleged incident, we will have no further comments." But they are doing an internal investigation.
Yes. Do you realize how many proud Canadian fathers are so excited to turn their children over to this gentleman?
Yep.
So that they can learn how to handle themselves, whether it's in the streets or if it's on the fairways.
Yep.
Bang! Hey, bang!
Come on, man.
Bang!
I said stop looking like an idiot.
Surprised he didn't get a National Medal of Honor.
I'm going to throw him in the lake. This is what's going to happen.
This guy's going to end up running for politics in Canada.
Should. Because I just watched the Rob Ford documentary. Remember those old days? I was like, yeah, this guy can do better.
Yeah, because it is funny because of how political, like, the United States and Canada have gotten, especially over the last year. There is this thought, like, we forget that the Canadians were like the badasses of hockey.
Yeah,
right.
It's their sport.
That it's their sport. Like, all I know when I watch my cable news is that how soft Canadians are. I'm like, not this dude. He will throw down if you don't let him play through on a golf course.
Coming in hot at 9:45 tomorrow morning, but I love Canadians. I'm sorry. I don't apologize.
Get out.
I love the Canadians. I love Canada and I love Canadian people.
I would love to see this investigation play out behind the scenes. All right, we have the we have the video. Let's get out the popcorn and watch it for the 17th straight time.
I think they were just happy. I mean, if it's hockey rules, they're just happy there was no third man in. That's what it is. That's one of the golden rules you're not supposed to break, if I'm not mistaken. Speaking of third man in, there's another guy giving me guff. Two guys trying to come after me on one situation, I guess. Miles Garrett, so Lima tried to rattle my cage. He put the Miles Garrett. Do we have the audio of that or do we not?
Yeah, so we got audio. Okay. This is from over at 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh.
Okay, so I had said Lima tried to rattle my cage.
And you'll hear that.
Okay,
here.
So here we go. Take it away.
If I hit play.
I'm sorry.
If it plays.
Boom.
This is from our great friends just down the road in Cleveland, Ohio from this morning.
Oh, great.
Pony said 70 NFL executive coaches and scouts once again ranked Myles Garrett ahead of TJ Watt, proving yet again the NFL executives, coaches, and scouts have no idea what they're talking about. And then you added me you want me to start ripping on Pony.
No, I just want you to see it.
Guys, I can't. I can only lead the pony to the water. And then I have to pull his head out of his ass to make him drink. I can't do the first thing. How am I supposed to make him do the second thing to have any common sense in the sport of football? Folks, I can't do it for Pony. He's an unhelpable person. He's incorrigible when it comes to sports. When it comes to football, I can't do it for him, guys. He's not a football guy like us here in Cleveland. He is this
We know a football guy when we see it.
Different entity.
Any rebuttal to those guys?
You're the football guy and you agree with me. So I think you should message Ken back and say, hey, I'm a ball knower and I think Pony's right.
That'd probably get him upset.
Well, yeah, but your allegiance is to me, not him. You don't produce his show. And
even though he's tried to poach me before.
And yes, he has. Which, what does that say about his current producer there now? His argument that Garrett was better than Watt was because Garrett won a playoff game against Watt.
Yay. Enough of that.
That wasn't the old argument. It's the argument that football guys know, and while they get paid for sacks in NFL front offices, pressures are just as bit as important as sacks, or even more important in some cases, well, setting up a defense.
Funny you should say that.
Oh, please. Oh.
They had more audio, and this comes from one of Pony's many appearances on Around the AFC North.
Oh.
I guess so. Donnie, who's also been on Around the AFC North from time to time, right? Donnie Football, I guess, if that's your last name, you've got to be a football
guy. You have
football
to be.
Well, Donnie wasn't there to hear this. So they play the audio. We'll play it again of you and Pony discussing Watt and Garrett during and around the AFC North segment. And hear how Andrew Filippone switches the words up to make sure that he goes after one of your good friends, Ken.
Did you hear this when I got into a fight with him on his show?
You really believe that?
All the stats and facts back that up.
I'm curious, Pony, what are those numbers that indicate that?
Every single one. Sacks, tackles for loss, quarterback hits, forced fumbles.
Who do you think the majority of teams would rather have playing for their football team, T.J. Watt or Myles Garrett?
So you're going to ask me some nebulous thought.
I'm going to ask you a question that you know the answer to that you don't want to answer.
And I'm trying to answer.
Because you know I'm right.
You want me to get in the head of John Spytek and Tom Telesco and try to figure out?
You know I'm right.
All right. What has Myles Garrett done better than T.J. Watt in his career? Give me a stat.
Help this team win a playoff game in Pittsburgh. Win a playoff game in Pittsburgh. He won one.
So because he's 1-0 versus T.J. Watt in the playoffs, he's therefore a better player? Is that what you're telling me?
Does it hurt the argument? No. So wait a minute.
You're right, Ken. By that logic, Max Starks is better than Joe Thomas,
you
idiot.
So you're telling me, think that people don't try to say that? You think that people don't try to use that on anything? No.
There you have it.
I think it was a great rebuttal by you with the Starks versus Thomas thing.
And then, because we talked about this with Kabali and others, he's friends with Thomas. How does he not take up for Thomas there? Instead, his comeback was, yeah, people do say that. First of all, people don't say that.
Yeah,
no one says that.
I mean,
one says Stark. She says, oh, you don't think people go around and say those things? No, I do not, Ken. I do not think people go around and say Max Starks is a better player than Joe Thomas because he won Super Bowls and Thomas never won a playoff game. I should have said, too, last I checked, wins for edge rushers, this is not a stat. This is not a number. He won a playoff game against him. Great. Let's pull up their win-loss record against each other, Garrett versus Watt, and tell me how he does there. Because he ain't winning that argument either. I like Max Starks. I would take a stump like in the Monty Python movies over a stump of Joe Thomas over Max Starks. He was unbelievable. I just thought that Ken would want to stick up for him more. That's all.
Well, Pony can kiss Joe's ass any way he wants and how often he wants to. That's fine. Joe knows I don't have to sit here and defend Joe, but all Joe also knows is that there's always a conga line of asses who want to line up and talk about what's he done, how many playoff games he playing, he just went to work a bunch in a row. That's all he knows. That Joe knows that, so I don't have to sit there and defend Joe. Joe can do enough to defend himself. If somebody said that Joe wasn't a good guy or something like that, then I would get defensive of Joe because Joe's a great person. That's what I'll get defensive of. The second thing is Donnie needs to watch his mouth because I wasn't trying to poach Donnie to be a producer. I was trying to give Donnie an opportunity to apply for our night show, and thank goodness they made the right decision in taking Jake Volnick.
Oh,
now, I've
God.
Probably said too much. I've probably said too much because unlike what Pony does, see, I want to actually help some of our young guys move along in our careers. And I know that Mitch probably doesn't have a lot of great things to say about me, but we all know, hey, put down any show crap you ever want to say. He knows to the letter of anything that I go out of my way to try to help him. And all the younger ones
know. As long as he goes out of his way to dodge the stapler.
Even Donnie knows. Even Donnie knows.
Sometimes it's a water bottle.
Because I ain't gonna lie. Yeah, I got in there. I got in his ear a little bit. I did. I tampered.
Well, it's a tampering period, though. It was okay.
No, I don't even care. It's about cruton, boy. Wow. I do not care. It is the Wild West in college football, and it's the Wild West here
NIL
at the Fan.
Comes to radio.
And I wanted talent. But Jake Volnick, he stepped up to the plate. He took the show. Jake's great. I'm glad we got Jake. But I'm sitting there going,
they ain't utilizing you. That all you want to do? You just want to do Donnie Football updates for Pony? He doesn't care about you.
Is that on Mueller Mondays?
Yeah, Mulsey Mondays. Pony has him call it Mulsey Monday. This is the show that Mulsey gets to do. I looked at him. I go, you understand?
So Pony gets 4 days, and
if I decided to have a Lima Monday, he would actually hit me in the face. Lima would actually sock me one. It would come to blows.
By the way, did Pony think
he'd
like
feed me like the guy on the golf course?
Did Pony assume that it was some wild discrepancy in the wins and losses between the two?
No.
Myles Garrett is 5-8-1. And by the way, that one was all Myles Garrett.
Yeah.
Do you remember what he did that game?
It's awesome.
Like 5-6 sacks in that game.
It's been 3 games. And how many of those have Pittsburgh been favored in? Probably of the 14 games, the Steelers have probably been favored in at least 12 of them.
Except for the... Well, he didn't play in the Duck Hodges game. Yeah. He was out.
Yeah, right.
I mean, you want to come?
Why was he out of that? Oh, yeah, that's right.
Because of the Mason.
Rudolph game. The two of that, those three. I didn't hear very much of Mueller at all, so I'm gonna go with Mueller.
Well, it's not a Monday.
But he and Donnie better figure it out. You gonna come at me? You better come correct. Because I've
long
learned
as
from
it fits in your calendar.
Some of the best. That's outstanding. Well done. Coming up next. No hot seat, really? When are we going to hold people accountable? Ken Carman, Anthony Lima, take us with you to work for a hell of a theory at 922 on The Fan.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Would there be a number that would rock Ken Carman's world on a per-season basis in sports?
I am not blown away by numbers anymore. I am not. We mention, and this is where we load words, it's the Andy Dalton's backup. When we say things about Deshaun Watson, let's be honest, people say $230 million for a reason. The more important thing is the three first-round picks. That's the more important thing because it ain't my money, and I just don't balk at those numbers anymore, those figures anymore. Like, you brought up James Harden a couple weeks ago, and James Harden's going to make $500 million by the time it's all said and done. And James Harden doesn't have a whole lot of respect out there on the street by the average sports fan. I mean, we've said all types of crazy things about James Harden. And so when I have a guy like that, I go, well, what's money? What's money? Devin Booker making that much money, you know, what's money? For the cap and the apron and all those things that we talk about, yeah, that's money. Well, like, but I don't get upset when guys... Is that what you're asking me?
Let me put it this way. Like, Deshaun Watson, when he signed his deal, now granted, that was a 5-year deal. It was guaranteed, which is what got everybody talking, and now we have a whole collusion thing about that, what might have happened behind the scenes between the players' union and the owners. But his deal was 5 years, 230. That's 46 per year. And I remember people saying, what is going on with the money in sports? Well, here we go. You're about to see guys on this level in the NBA as part of the new CBA, even with the second apron, they're about to make 70 per year plus. And Donovan Mitchell, if he declines a player option in 2027, is going to be north of 70 million. Which is crazy for people to think. If you were to walk around and talk to people who don't really know the finances in sports, say, hey, who makes the most money? Well, yeah, we're a Browns town. It's going to be a Cleveland Brown, right? It's probably going to be a Cleveland Brown. No, Donovan Mitchell is going to make so much more money than any Cleveland Brown per year. What's Myles Garrett up to now?
40.
With his new contract.
40.
Okay, Myles Garrett, 40. We just did a segment about him being the most dominant Brown you have ever seen in your lifetime.
Uh-huh.
And he's not going to come close to the Donovan Mitchell per year contract if Mitchell signs it here in Cleveland.
Miles still doesn't do for the Browns what Donovan does for the Cavs. What's fair is fair. What's right is right. I mean, let's...
You mean in terms of wins
how much does Jose
and
make? How much does Jose make a year? Because I know it's 160.
On
I think
his
it
tremendous
is.
Home team
yeah,
discount.
Yeah, I can't even use him as an example because everybody knows he took a $100 million haircut for crying out loud.
But oh my God.
How much is he making this year?
20 this year, 19 million, next year, 21.
Judas Priest.
Judas Priest. Think about that on a per game basis.
That's insanity.
I mean, we're coming off a stretch here.
Right, he right. Because they play half the games in the NBA.
He was basically the only bat they had. We're coming off a stretch. You want to talk about a guy who keeps a team afloat, for the love of God. Donovan does more for the Cavs than what Miles does for the... And plus, there's less players, so there's less money to go around. Right. Or go around. So you would imagine it's elite. Like,
that is a big part of it. People have to remember this. They're only paying, you know, what, 12 to 15 guys a team.
So Miles in basketball. Miles is special, but Donovan, because of the game he plays, is really, really special. And since there's only really 26 guys on a roster in Major League Baseball, and I know that the Guardians call guys up and send guys down and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But I mean, Jose Ramirez and a couple of other guys, they are the very elite of the elite when it comes to the Cleveland Guardians. So I don't have a problem with the money they make.
But people do. There definitely are people that I have heard it associated more with the NBA than the other sports, because that's why they bring up load management as a complaint with NBA players, because the NBA guys make by far the most amount of money. So their schedule, they play 82 games.
Uh-huh.
Baseball players play twice as many games. Now, one is clearly more taxing physically. Like, the NBA guys are running up and down the floor for, you know, 2.5 hours a night at a crazy level. I mean, if anybody watched the finals this year, you just saw the... I know those teams were deeper than most, but you were seeing a level of athleticism that is kind of not comparable.
It is a blind spot for me. I haven't cared really since I could go back to Alex Rodriguez back in the day, man. I mean, I just don't feel I've cared. There's guys who I want to keep, so I want to pay them. So let's do what's necessary to keep. Like Peyton Hillish years ago, Josh Cribbs before him, like pay the man because I wanted a talented player. So figure out a way to make the money work. I don't care. It ain't my money. Like Keith just sent us, guys, you'd be blown away by how much Cristiano Ronaldo makes. No, I'm not. $225 million? Yeah, it's a significant amount of money. Or $275 million? It's a significant amount of money. I don't live in that world. I don't ever make that money. I assume, because I take it this way, I don't even know what team is paying Cristiano Ronaldo. I have no idea. I assume that team makes enough to cover it and then some so they can pay him that amount of money. So the Cleveland Browns make a lot of money. They can afford to pay Myles Garrett and Deshaun Watson and Denzel Ward and everybody else that they're going to be lining up to pay. The offensive line, all that other stuff. The same thing with the Cavs.
I should ask Owen, because obviously you're a diehard Chiefs fan. You said, Ken, well, Donovan Mitchell has more of an influence on winning than Myles Garrett does.
Uh-huh.
Okay, who has more of an influence on winning in all of sports than Patrick Mahomes of a team sport? Do you know what he's making? He signed a 10-year, $450 million, and he could have made...
Well, that got restructured, too.
And it can make up to $503 million with performance-based incentives.
Because when people look at the contracts, right, they're looking at the big chunk number, right? So when that happened at first, it was like $500 million, right, in his contract. Yeah. But when you do the numbers, he's not even one of the top five highest-paid quarterbacks.
And again, right? Not fully guaranteed.
Right.
Not fully guaranteed. Devin Booker's deal is fully guaranteed. It is incredible the difference.
I can't imagine that Devin Booker might be as important to the Suns as Patrick Mahomes is to the Chiefs on a team-by-team basis, but he's not as important to winning and championships as Patrick Mahomes is.
I think to do this job, I'm kind of with you. Like, these numbers kind of whiz past us, and we don't really stop and contemplate them. But I wonder if our fans, I wonder if our listeners do. If our listeners feel the same way, because if you're waking up today and you just found out that in American sports, on a per-year basis, nobody makes more money than Devin Booker, a per-year basis.
I would be. So next season, right, Suns come to Cleveland. I go watch the game. If Devin Booker underperforms, I'm pissed. Even as a Cavs fan.
Boy, that's...
Because that guy is making $70 million to entertain me.
If he underperforms.
If he underperforms in Cleveland when I pay money to go watch him.
I just forget the money, and I assume you make a lot of money, so that's why I'm upset that you underperform.
Because basketball is really the one that I'm watching the other guys more than I'm watching my own guys. I mean, I appreciate all the Cavs.
I get it.
When I go to watch them. But I want to see the star from the other team. They've built superstars on every team.
If you
come to Cleveland and you're making $70 million and you have a night where you play 20 minutes and score 12 points.
Yeah.
It's a bad night, and I feel disappointed by that.
You say what you want, but Kawhi Leonard's become a Hall of Famer doing that.
If you were to, it's just a thought to go into the breaks. I know we got to move on, though. If you were to think about who should be the highest paid in all of sports, not the golfers, take the golfers, the tennis, take the boxers, they always make the one big payday or the MMA. Take all that out of it. If you were in team sports to think about, if you were to do your own power ranking, who should be the highest paid in all of sports? Because some names fly. We've already said Patrick Mahomes. That should be like one. That should be like 1A. You know, the second name, just to give you a primer, like Shohei. Because he does both.
Yeah.
And he's a megastar.
But it's all deferred. He's going to be getting paid until like 2078.
His contract's going to be weird to talk about. But Devin Booker is not in the top 50.
He's in the NBA, right?
He's not in the top 50 of the guys.
But who am I to hate him for getting paid? Who am I to hate a guy for getting paid?
I'm with you there.
I mean, if someone's going to give him $72 million a year, $73 million a year, who am I to stand in his way? I can't say he don't deserve that. There is a very good businessman who decided to give him all that money. They're not stupid. They have general managers and capologists and all that other stuff. Somebody decided to give them that money. So why am I upset about it? Again, I'm not upset. The $230 million, it's just become a big talking point because it's an easy thing to look at. But if I'm upset about anything about Deshaun Watson, it's the three first-round picks. It's the three first-round picks. A guy was supposed to make up for the three first-round picks who didn't do any of that. Didn't do any of that. And then, I mean, honestly, we jettisoned other players and all types of other coaches for him as well. But if he wants, if you gave him money, I don't care about his money. That ain't my business. That's his business.
And the NBA, unless I have one of the top four picks, three picks, I don't even care about the first round picks, right?
Oh, that's another thing, too. That's another thing, too. I care much more about the actual tangible things that matter to me as a fan.
They gave up three for Donovan Mitchell, and you're like, whatever. That's fine.
That is interesting, though, you hold them accountable to that. I bet there's more people than I think who do that on a nightly basis for like the NBA, even Major League Baseball, things like that. All right, 216-474-0092. Coming up in just over 20 minutes, what's legacy matter to one man in particular here in Cleveland? And at best, it's a cheap gimmick that's still beneath the league. But to a lot of you, my status as a football guy has become my cross to bear. It's in 5 minutes on The Fan.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Have you ever done that?
No.
You ever called the boss and said, what are they doing?
No, I've
come in. We had a guy who did that back in the day.
I've come in the very next day and closed the door and said, look, I don't want to overstep my bounds. And of course, any sentence that starts with that.
Yeah, you're going to overstep your bounds.
I am doing everything I can to jump way overboard.
You will find as your kids get older, you become a lot better at not overstepping your bounds. There's just things that you don't want to know about. Don't care. Don't tell me. I do care, but still don't want to know. Don't tell me. Unless I know the better. I have a theory, and I've shared this before. I shared one part of it before, but I don't think it's like that. I think that the NBA and its league that it is the parent of, the WNBA, I think it's going to be at a crossroads very, very soon here. And I'm supporting it, and I like it because I think it could blow sports wide open. Caitlin Clark, she was at a fan event. This would have been last week. And she was talking about there's a Nike ad in Indianapolis. And she mentioned Indiana. And listen to her answer. Now, I'm not sure how easy it's going to be to hear. So turn the radio up a little bit. Listen to her answer about the future of Caitlin Clark in Indiana.
The sign of the JW Marriott says from downtown to my town. How have you made Indy home?
Oh gosh, I mean, I'm from the Midwest, so this was one of the top places I wanted to come out of college, and I feel like the adjustment has been pretty easy, and our fans have been amazing, and have amazing teammates, so I certainly love it here, and hopefully I can play here for a few more years.
A few more years, not the rest of her career,
a few more years. Caitlin Clark for a few more years. Now, I want, my first reaction is to want to go, Dan, come on, whatever it takes. Do whatever it takes. I do think Caitlin Clark, though, can change the way we look at this, because if she's saying a few more years and they're going through CBAs, the most that Caitlin Clark can make is what, $200,000 on a WNBA salary? This has happened in other sports. It happened with Magic and Larry, and it's happened with other people before who've taken their sports to another level. For the most part, this has happened before we've been alive. I mean, Magic and Larry were 1979 and 1980. Michael was when I was an infant. Then you go back to the days of Babe Ruth. Well, obviously, that was before all of us were born. And Jim Thorpe to Frank Gifford in the NFL, and then into today's NFL. Kurt Flood, even that, in free agency in baseball. But when it comes to Caitlin Clark, it's not just about the Cleveland basketball team getting a chance. It's what if Caitlin Clark decides in a couple of years going, you're going to change this or I'm going to go to Europe. You're going to change this or you're going to take advantage of me and I'm going to go the other way and I'm going to get something better and you're going to lose your biggest asset. Because let me bring this up.
One woman lockout. Think about that.
Yes. Let me use my own argument against myself with you 2 years ago. You might not remember this, but you probably do. It was the big three, there was a league, right? The Ice Cube League.
Yeah.
It's probably still around
for
all I know.
Isn't that the big three?
I think it's still around. Yeah.
And they offered her millions of dollars. And I go, you don't want to be in this silly league playing with silly people and being some carnival sideshow. This is your chance to legitimize, finally, the WNBA.
Stunt. That would be a gimmick.
Yes, a gimmick, stunt, silly thing. You can legitimize the WNBA, raise the WNBA, raise the level of play, raise salaries, raise the profile of the game right here in the United States. And I said to you, it's a foolhardy thing to do. You owe it to the game to raise the profile of it. You owe it to the game is what I said to you. Well, she's in year two. What's the game done for Caitlin Clark?
Yeah, she just gets bodied all over the basketball
court. Let me ask you, what's the WNBA done for Caitlin Clark?
They don't want to vote for her, for even though she was clearly like one of the better players instantly.
They don't want to vote for her. They openly resent her. Do they or do they not? Yeah. The fans adore her. But this is the common case of not giving the fans what they want.
Yeah, but then all the fans are getting into like racial battles about this. The one woman who's trying to chronicle all this, Christine Brennan, is just getting ripped by all the by 80% of the players in the league. They think that she's out to get them, even though she's like going to be the biographer of Caitlin Clark.
Yeah. Well, I look at what's happened here over the last couple of years. And it's not where there needs to be some special set of rules, but let's call stars stars. Stars get fouls. Stars get a little bit extra. You've brought up the stats where Jonathan brought up the stats. You actually watching like guys. There's three women flocking to her at every chance, sticking their elbows in her chest, sticking their elbows in her neck. They're trying to get the ball out of her hands. It's crazy. And she's taken these shots. Sophie Cunningham has been able to, even though that we're not the biggest fans of her right now, Sophie Cunningham's been able to bring herself to light for a lot of people because she's become the enforcer for Caitlin Clark. But that's right. You've got Caitlin Clark injured. You have people in the league who resent Caitlin Clark. They've done nothing to... Caitlin Clark has raised the profile of it. The fans have raised the profile of the WNBA. The league itself doesn't seem to be trying to do that. It seems to be resenting Caitlin Clark. And if Caitlin Clark has her chutzpah about it, she looks at it in the next couple of years and goes, okay, you're going to acquiesce to this and I'm going to be a business person, or I'm just going to go play in Europe.
I mean, it's incredible.
Somebody who's going to offer $1 million over there.
I watched game 7 of the NBA Finals, the pinnacle of basketball at the highest level. The very first commercial break, there might have been 2 or 3 Caitlin Clark commercials.
Yeah.
Where she was prominently displayed. She is as big as any NBA player right now outside of LeBron and maybe Steph and Luka, maybe. And that's it. That's how big she is.
She is easily in the top 5 of basketball stars right now, and arguably number 2.
And she's selling out whatever arena. How many NBA players are selling out on their own?
That's the biggest
independent
thing.
Independent of everybody
selling out
else. Selling out road games.
Getting games moved from different arenas to bigger arenas.
How many dudes in the NBA are doing that right now? So she's obviously this huge draw. You're right, Kenny. Like, they keep talking about the union and what they could do in women's basketball to elevate everybody else, to get them to where they're flying private, right? Because you'll see a WNBA team at the airport when you go. Like, but they haven't made the money that the men have. So, like, you understand that placement. So it's so bizarre. Like, she is generating TV ratings, and you can see the games that she's involved in, what they are getting compared to the other WNBA teams and even their own team when she's not playing.
How much?
It's a difference of millions.
How much does it cost to get a WNBA team? How much was that?
Boy, what were investment? What did Dan Gilbert just pay? $250 million?
Yeah, and I'm going to get what?
When it was $50 million just 2 years ago, 3 years ago?
That happens without Caitlin Clark?
No, that's right. It'd be exactly. $50 million.
And Caitlin Clark, the most she can make as of right now, and I'm sure it will go up here a little bit.
I've got it right here.
$200,000 is the most she can make?
Yeah, the people that make the most, the girls that make the most right now in the sport, Kelsey Mitchell, $250,000. That's the highest paid salary.
That's a Supermax contract.
That's on a Supermax, WNBA Supermax contract.
What's the second apron? No, don't go over like $2 million for a whole team.
I mean, you have to look into the entertainment value of it as well. You really do. And if I'm her, I'm going $250 million for three new franchises. Okay, that's almost a billion. That's two-thirds of $1 billion right there. They're three-quarters of $1 billion right there. What am I getting out of this in the next few years? So when she says the next few years, it's not about, I don't know if it's about leaving the Fever for another WNBA team, but of course they could go hog wild there. And if you wanted to do it, you could get Dan Gilbert to go, okay, I'm a brand new team. You want to start this off the right way? We're a league of winners. I'm a team. I am a franchise that prides itself on the effort of winning. Here's a blank check, and I'll figure out whatever luxury tax I got to pay for the WNBA.
Well,
you could do that, or she can leave the WNBA.
This will just be like college right now with the NIL. Like, what is stopping an owner like Dan Gilbert from finding three partners in town for their businesses, right? Some steel business or a paint manufacturing business that might be centered here. What is stopping him from getting whatever rookie on a free agent to lure a free agent
because
from getting them on the side of a building?
Because for her, I think of it like this. So many people are like, well, you make so much money in extras. You make so much money on your name, image, and likeness. And you're going, I just got done doing that in college. Yeah, I need it in the base salary. LeBron makes a bunch of money on his name, image, and likeness because he's still the biggest star in the NBA. He opted back in for the max. He's getting the max. I want the max, and you can afford a hell of a lot more because it is about how much money I can leave. I had a goofball who was willing to offer me five or whatever $1 million it was to go play with a bunch of has-beens and scrubs in another league just to be a sideshow carnival show. I turned that down to raise up the profile of the WNBA, and I've received very little in return if I'm Caitlin Clark as of right now going into two full years. They better come around. That's where I'll leave it. That's where I'll leave it. 216-474-0092. Is that a argument that I make on Saturday morning on the Infinity Sports Network?
100%.
Okay. I just want to make sure.
Because she's bigger than the WNBA right now.
Is David Njoku a guy that you would extend?
Probably not. So, boy, what a interesting and lengthy career he has had with the Browns now.
God, he's only 29 still. Feels like he's 140 years old.
When they took him, this was they were trying to go.
Oh my gosh, today's his birthday. Happy birthday. Wow.
David.
Oh, we're going to talk
yourself
about your
a day, young
with
man.
The Browns on your birthday.
That's right. When they drafted Njoku, he was super young for that position. Right?
Like,
Yes, he was 20.
He was 20. He was not yet 20. When he showed up originally, he wasn't
old
enough to
drink. Really young for a position where you have to do two totally different things. You have to block. You have to run routes and catch balls.
Like, he became a much better blocker as time went
on. Yes. Him. Oh, he has definitely found a role. Like, he's going to have such a long career in the NFL now. But the question is, like, he's going to be looking for a massive contract, right?
Yeah.
But
you're 29. Well, he's an NFL football player. He's always been looking for a massive contract.
He's been a top, would you say, 7, 8 tight end?
I think I would extend him. I think you can actually bring him back for something decent here. He's an unrestricted free agent.
This is good then.
They can be voided or he can be an unrestricted free agent. This is after this season. His base salary, cap hits at 11, dead caps at 20. So obviously he's staying here, but you have to work an extension there. He has been injured more than I like. And it makes the Harold Fanion Jr. signing seem so much bigger. How much could David Njoku get on the open market after this year? How much do you think, if he has a really good season, he may very well price himself out of it. But if he has another season where he's good and he shows promise, but he ends up getting hurt, he could certainly sign himself into this. And I think, again, remember what position I'm going to be in going into next year. I'm probably going to have another rookie quarterback. Am I not?
Oh, yeah.
There's people who are giving me all sorts of hell right now on social media because I said that. Guys, I love Shador Sanders because I love his dad, and I like Dylan Gabriel fair enough. They were day two and day three guys. They are owed nothing by this football team. So let's go on the premise that we're going to be drafting a quarterback next year. Don't you want a guy that you know is going to be open? Don't you want a guy you know is going you can use as a safety valve? Because Harold Fanion certainly shows a lot of promise. I'm not guaranteed of that by Harold Fanion just yet. I haven't seen him in an NFL football game just yet.
And
guarantee you that about David Njoku.
When Fanion, who again, 20 years old, so he turns 21 here in a week and a half, so maybe we'll do the same thing for him. They give him a commemorative show. But you know, Fannin's kind of considered a project too, right? He's a newer tight end too in the last, like, how many years?
Yeah.
He was not a tight end.
I'm soft pedaling it for whatever reason because I know he's from Canton. But either way, yes, he is.
Yeah. I mean, I'm excited about him. Yes. I got to call a few of his games in college. Like, it was awesome to watch him. He belonged on a field against Penn State, on a field against Texas A&M. He 100% belonged. But then I remember right before the draft, there were some people that were like, look at the way he runs. You know, they weren't impressed with his drills at the Senior Bowl, was it? Mm-hmm. They weren't, or was it the Combine? The Combine, they weren't.
Everybody was critical of him at the Combine.
So are you thinking that it's like keeping Njoku, that's like a mentor to him, while it also gets in the way of him and his, could potentially get in the way of him and his development, Fanion. So do they look at it that way?
I don't think that. No, I don't think that he's a mentor. I don't like the term. I don't like the mentor stuff. I used to want to be like saying that all the time, and then I think over the last few years, even before Joe Flacco coming back, I think that kind of goes. You can be a good teammate. You don't have to be a mentor or any. It's like you're training your people. Don't like to train their replacements. I don't think that football players like to train their replacements either. But you could see the writing on the wall, use it as a challenge, go out there, play your ass off, and going into year 30 on Earth and going into another year in the NFL, go out and either get yourself paid by the Browns, where I think it would make sense to sign him now instead of letting him go out there and have a season and then possibly risk having to franchise tag him or having to do any sort of free agency. But at the age of 30, I think that the franchise tag is on the table for something there. But I think for a guy like David Njoku, if he ends up having a good season, I think if you're the Browns, you have to consider what you're bringing into next year. And what you're bringing into next year, as of right now, is another rookie quarterback. You need a guy that you can trust. I got Jerry Jeudy I can trust. Hopefully I'll have the running backs that I can trust. We'll see where that goes because they're rookies too. But when I have, if I have David Njoku, a veteran, that's another tight end and probably still 12 personnel because they're operating the Kevin Stefanski. They're not thinking about firing Kevin Stefanski. So if I'm going 12 personnel with any one of these tight ends and quarterbacks, yeah, I want a guy that I can count on. It makes sense. I think it makes sense to sign David Njoku right now than wait any more minutes to sign David Njoku. And I think his price can only go up. And it's his birthday, for crying out loud.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to
David Njoku.
Happy birthday to you.
She's got a good broadcasting voice. Syracuse Pound.
Get that kid in the booth.
We have our very own Olivia Harlan right here in Cleveland. You're a play-by-play guy. Coming up next, usually the first one to an idea just gets passed up by those who rip them off and improve it. Ken Carmen, Anthony Lima on The Fan. I'm afraid they're going to make the wrong decision. They're going to start Kenny Pickett. I don't think they're going to start one of the rookies. Here is Coach Lance Risland, though, on his thoughts on Kenny Pickett, and I think this is why he agrees with me a lot on Joe Flacco, the question about Kenny being a sleeper.
It does not matter until the pads go on. It does not matter until you get live bullets flying around you. Now, what I think the Browns have done a nice job of, including with Pickett, is trying to get Gabriel, Sanders, and Pickett up to speed. Because you can't compete in the NFL at any level unless you know what you're doing, right? And it's not only knowing what your players are doing against a specific defense, but then you got to know what your plays are and the adjustments are with your players when the defense adjusts to what you're doing. So those take reps, right? Live reps, not walkthroughs, not things on the board, live reps. And that's why I think Flacco has the advantage going in, just because he's seen not only what's going to happen with the original play design, but what happens with the defensive adjustments. Pickett's a guy that, you know, it's just like with Sanders, I said it a bunch, right? These guys have gotten way too much praise and way too much criticism without any pads on. Let's see when the pads go on and they're seeing live bullets around them, what they can do. Now, Pickett fits in very well with Stefanski, right? He's good at play action. He throws the ball well from different launch points. He can throw that levels concept. He's tough. He doesn't have, you know, because like we were talking earlier, if you run the ball pretty well, they're going to crowd the line of scrimmage. It makes I always felt like one of my goals as a quarterback coach was I got to try to make that picture clear for the quarterback or make the window less things in the window. So the quarterback makes it easy for him. Pickett can do those things. And for me, you know, I was listening to you guys about the, you know, and Nick yesterday about the tiers. For me, there's two tiers. There's quarterbacks you win with. And there's quarterbacks you win because of, and there's very few quarterbacks you win because of. I think Pickett's a guy that you can win with if you surround him with bright people.
That's very nice, but that's why I'm starting Joe Flacco to start the season. He's been in it with them. Now, Kenny Pickett's played in games, obviously, but he's been in it with them. Joe Flacco has. And I just think about getting their attention to start the season, getting their respect, getting them to believe that something may change. It probably won't. Probably won't be a great year. But you at least have to make the effort. I think a lot of people go, Kenny, that's a waste of time. We're just going to get a worse draft pick. Yeah, but they're the guys who have to live in that reality. So they have to go and make that effort for it. I think that eventually all four quarterbacks will get their crack at playing. I do. But I want the guys to be able to earn it if they're going to be able to play for this football team. And I think that Joe Flacco has earned the right to start, not the privilege, if you will, of starting week one. I want to go back to Tim Kirchin and what he said about this, because I'm not mad at Tim. I'm mad at the game. I don't hate the player. I hate the game. Here's what Tim Kirchin said about fans getting mad at the Dolans over all this.
It's easy to say we need to spend a lot more money in order to improve the team, but the Guardians don't have a lot of money. The reason they've been so good over the years is they've drafted and developed players pretty darn well, and Chris Antonetti and his group deserve a lot of credit for the job that they have done with the Guardians. Now, ownership is going to have to get more involved here and try whatever it takes to improve this team. But you're right, they've been pretty darn good. And I'm just not sure that it's really fair to blast ownership and blast the front office for not improving this team when they've done an awful lot of good things the last few years.
I think that he agrees with you on what we argued with at 6 o'clock
sure,
and 6:20.
Like it.
And go back to the free Odyssey app. But Lima, I wasn't calling you an idiot.
No.
I was saying I was frustrated.
I think we all should be frustrated. We all should be really mad and outraged. Some of us are a little later to that party than others, I'll admit, when it came to what they didn't do after last year's ALCS run. With that said, I do think it's silly to act like they haven't tried to win over the last decade and now paint this brush because they had a 10-game losing streak and people were irate over the state of affairs today. That seems very, very reactionary. It also seems like a bunch of people who had been losing arguments with a lot of people for a decade over the Guardians and now get to puff their chest out a little bit.
Yeah, but because when they hear a guy like Tim Kirchin say that you can't argue with a team and they say, well, yeah, no one's saying they're not trying to win. It's are they trying to do what they can to win at all? I think there's a clear difference. And I can't say for certain that since 2016 and 17, I will say 2017, they invested in this team. You were right. That offseason, they tried to go all in, as all in as the Cleveland Guardians can. Totally agree with you. That's been a long time. And you can't say that in this last offseason, when they were an ALCS team, they did what they could to cash in. It's been the complete opposite. And that's what frustrates fans, is that fans are mad, and then they have people who are in the know. And this is the problem with baseball, telling them that, no, your anger and criticism is really unfounded. And when he says, whatever it takes to improve the baseball team. I think, yeah, he'll do something to improve from here. If they finish under 500, yeah, they'll do something to improve from that. But are they willing to try to get back to where they were before that? Are they willing to do that, or are we just going to continue to wait and hope that we get lucky? And that's what I think that's what Cleveland fans are upset with, because when we talk about the Browns and Cavs, one for way worse and one for way better, they've done what they can to compete at the highest level. That's why, like, the LeBron thing, you guys say, guys, you guys are just farting in the wind. Maybe we are. This is an owner and an organization that has proven that it will do whatever it can to try to win a championship. The Browns, for much worse, did what they try to do. They do whatever they can to try to win the championship.
But what's worse?
They just made a horrific decision.
What's worse? Having all the resources in the world and utilizing them and still being one of the worst teams in football, or what the Guardians are have been through over the last, you know, however many years.
It's honestly, over the last how many
years?
Where
they don't have the resources, or they refuse to allocate the resources.
Not even close. So the Browns are way worse. But if I'm talking about this year, it's way worse to go through a year like this than it is for the Browns. Because, again, I can just lie to myself, whether or not it's true or not, because there's people who go, hey, as long as the Haslams own them, they're never going to be good. And I can go, hey, there's been plenty of ownerships out there that have struggled, that have found their way by lucking into it even, or they're at the top of the draft and they just take the guy who's going to change their fortunes. The Irsay family, I'm not going to speak about Jim Irsay, who just passed away, but Bob Irsay, when he was in charge of that team, we obviously know the history there. They were able to get Peyton Manning on that football team. It changed the way everybody looked at the Indianapolis Colts forever and ever and ever. You can do that in the NFL. You really can't do that in baseball. You really can't do it, because I have to take the right guy and then I have to wait a couple of years. Now, I know that things are changing and guys are coming up a little bit sooner, but my God, it's taken forever to bring up some of these guys. And for some folks, like with the Chase DeLauder thing, they think they're just hiding a first-round pick. Because you've had people, I told you, the fans down there go, Ken, I think you're thinking of the dream more than the reality of Chase DeLauder. I'm going, I don't know, man. Everything I see he does down in Columbus is amazing. He is a former first-round pick. We might as well bring him up. But are they not bringing him up? Why are they not bringing him up? Or am I just going to use that against him, going, hey, here's another first-round pick that you guys didn't really work out with? Bo Mills, John Drennan, you can go down the list with some of these guys. Some of them worked out well. So it's way worse to go through a really bad year. And this is turning into a really bad year for them. Demos and Shaker, you're next up in the Fan. Hello.
Hi, Ken. I just don't think you're a baseball guy. And, you know, everything you described is exactly how baseball is. I mean, think about a baseball
team. But I'm not a baseball guy?
No. You know, you understand it, but you don't like it, okay? Deep down, you don't like it, okay? You're a football guy, just like cat guys and or cat people and dog people, okay? Okay. It's okay. All right, now, think about baseball. Your best players get a hit one out of three times. Your worst players, Austin Hedges, one out of ten, okay? When you mix up a team with six guys that are batting 200 with Kwan and Ramirez, it's a recipe for disaster hitting-wise. Thank God we've got some good pitching, and that's really been the strength of this team. And, Ken, you cannot look back at just, say, this season, but you have to look at the Dolans, the entirety of their ownership. They're one of the top, like, five teams in baseball winning percentage-wise. Did they not win the World Series in 2016? No. Why? Did they overuse Kluber? Maybe. Who knows? Baseball's a weird game, Ken. It's in low percentages, and you're putting low percentages together with low percentages, which is why if you bet on baseball, you're an idiot.
Well, I'm not betting on baseball.
I'm not saying you do.
I'm not criticizing them. I just said numerous times over and over that I'm not criticizing them for what they did in 2016 and 17. Hell yeah, I'm frustrated. You're not frustrated?
I get it. I'm frustrated. I'm big time frustrated because we've come so close so many times in my life, and I go to the games and I see these like 80-year-old people sitting there going like, yeah, they haven't seen a World Series win either. You know what I mean? And I'm like, it bugs the crap out of me. But you know what? I'd rather be, you know, thinking that there's a chance to do it than sitting there in whichever version of Brown Stadium we're going to have and thinking about the ineptitude of a team that has been able to draft high players and still sucks after 25 years. It's shocking. Okay. And
that's fair.
They don't deserve They don't deserve. I still give them my money, and I feel stupid by doing it. I don't feel that way at a Guardians game. And I used to live in Chicago when the Cubs were at their absolute worst. And you know what, Ken? People went to ball games and they enjoyed it. They like baseball. Baseball's a whole different vibe. Okay, so just relax and enjoy the Guardians. That's all I'm asking.
I'm not gonna just relax and enjoy anything, Demos. Thank you very much for the call. If you experience any success, any fan base is going to want to experience more success. You know, I hear crazy Yankee fans say crazy things about their team. Why should I just enjoy what's going on? I mean, that's a Paul Dolan line. Just enjoy them. Okay, I'm just going to enjoy them. Because I'll tell you what, if you keep giving your money to the Browns, yeah, they might do a foolish decision with it and spend $230 million on a quarterback that can't play for you. You know they're going to do what they can to try to improve the team. If I give my money to Paul Dolan, am I convinced they're going to do what they can to improve? They will be responsible with that money. They're not going to blow that money. Okay. Do we root for responsibility in the end? Do we really? I mean, how really responsible? Think about this. You know that the Cavs did basically everything they could from 2010 on. Decisions were made to put that team in a position where LeBron would want to come back, right? Was that the most responsible thing ever? Because you were just on the whims of LeBron. LeBron could have said, nah, I'm going to stay here in Miami. And then you were stuck with Kyrie Irving and whatever else you had going on for you. It's not the most responsible thing, but they did what they could to bring a superstar back because they knew it was the best chance to do it. They made a decision for Donovan Mitchell. Donovan Mitchell may only be able to get them to the Eastern Conference Finals by the time it's all said and done. And you've given up how many first-round picks because of all of that with the Stepien rules? So now you have these decisions that are made. Not the most responsible decisions. Decisions to try to win. The Guardians, nobody is accusing them of irresponsibility. Nobody. They've been a good franchise. But you can't defend this. 216-474-0092. I'm going to try to get some more of you guys. And Michael Stanley, Bone Thugs and Harmony, Tracy Chapman. Somebody wanted to add to that list. Eric Carmen, Machine Gun Kelly. And there's another name you may add to the list of Cleveland Music Royalty. Coming up at 944 on The Fan. Okay. I haven't read any. I just saw the headline on it.
Mid-American Conference pipeline. We got Harold Fannin.
I'm not saying he's wrong. I'm just going, man, that's a story. But if somebody would have said, like, if you're getting Wayne Krabet vibes from Julian Edelman, you're not wrong. Like, do you think anybody would have thought that back then?
No. Yeah.
How about that poll? Wayne Krabet, Wayne Sherbert, huh? Yeah. Yeah. Football guy. I know my football guys. All right. Well, we'll see. Speaking of, if Shador Sanders can't make it here, he can make it in Canada. Pro Football Talk put it out over the weekend that the CFL, on their official websites, they have something there that the Toronto Argonauts have the negotiation rights to Shador Sanders, the same as they did after late April, the Browns, after Sanders fell to pick number 144 in the draft, and people keep bringing it up again because if he isn't able to make the active roster coming out of the training camp, that he could possibly go play for the Toronto Argonauts. Do you believe there's a possibility that he could ever play for the Toronto Argonauts? Tone, we go to you.
Is this a yearly stunt by the CFL teams to do this?
There's always somebody that falls and they're always like, hey, because they got to make news too. They're an entertainment business as well.
It's the same reason that football players get drafted in the MLB draft in the 38th round or whatever.
That's right. Yeah, that does happen. Didn't this happen with Manziel?
Into Canada?
Yeah.
I think so.
I swear I could have.
I'd rather play in Canada than the UFL. That's not off base, right? Or XFL. Well, what's it called?
UFL. It's the UFL. Well, the XFL Canada and the USFL merged and they became the UFL. It's different rules in Canada. UFL's the same rules.
But the difference is in Canada, yes, you're right, different rules, but fans. It is something to be said for playing in front of sold out. Or at the very least, like 3/4 capacity crowds, that still could get the juices flowing. I don't know what they pay.
We got a buddy. He either works for him or he is just a huge fan. I'm not sure. We have a buddy in Winnipeg who's a Blue Bombers guy. That place looks filled every time they show him on social media. I'll take that. If I were, I don't think you're going up there to play for fans, but
I've got the account CFL attendances pulled up right now.
What do we got? What's the average?
Was I talking out of my...
Calgary is 22,000.
That's not
500.
Bad. That's an average.
Montreal, it's week attendance. It was I'm guessing for this week.
Yeah.
Montreal 21-1, Edmonton 16-5, and those Argonauts in Toronto, they've only got 12-7.
Whoa, what happened to the once proud Argonauts? But compare
that's
that
still early in the year.
But compare that.
John Candy isn't alive.
Well, yeah, I mean, they've had hockey. They've been, what are they of going course. Up against hockey at the same time? Yeah. So,
but Edmonton, who was in the final, they've got 16-5.
Okay, so compare that to the attendance. And
imagine the plane trip to that one.
Yeah, true. I'm sorry, what did you
just
say?
Just compare it to the other league that we're talking about.
Let me see if I can find numbers on that.
I think the honestly,
and whatever it is, it's a lie. There's got there can't be more than 700 people at some of these games.
I think St. Louis actually draws.
Do they?
Well, what's your definition of draw? If they're playing in the not the RCA Dome, the Edward Jones Dome, right? Yeah,
it's called something else.
Okay,
now.
That place holds 50-something thousand. So if you have 50-something thousand, say you have 20,000, I think 20,000 people for a USF or UFL game would be amazing. I see some of them pictures, Tone. It looks like they're drawing 5,000 people, if that.
Yeah.
So and plus there's history, and the league's been around, so it's not like you're going to go bust at any time. I would say that both leagues would be okay for a passer, but I think the Canadian three-down system would be more conducive to throwing, wouldn't it? So at least he'd get all the reps he possibly
and
could.
And he'd get an extra receiver.
It doesn't matter. He's not.
They've got 12 on the field.
He's going to at least be on the opening day roster. He'll at least be that. I mean, guys, he has to turn around and throw the ball backwards every single play for him to not make this opening day roster. He's going to be on the active roster. Austin Monaco says that Manziel was drafted by the Padres as well. Yeah, there is. I mean, Russell Wilson. Didn't Russell Wilson play a minor league baseball game once?
Yeah, I think he actually went through a few.
Yeah, like as a current NFL quarterback.
Well, like Tom Brady got drafted by the Expos. And at least you get a rookie card out of that deal.
Garth Brooks. Will Ferrell.
Will Ferrell got drafted by 12 team.
216-474-0092. Josh and Berea, you're first up on the fan. Hello.
What's up, guys?
Hi, Josh.
I mean, hey, I lived in Canada for 6 months, man. Them Canadians, they love their Canadian football. They even like, you know, missing field goals and still winning the game. What about that rule? It's kind of crazy.
I didn't know anything about that. That's crazy.
Yeah, I forgot that it's some Canadian term. You miss the field goal, but you make the distance, you get a point. So if the game's 30-30 and the kicker makes the distance, you win. It's ridiculous.
Well, that's not the most
un-American
idea
thing I've ever seen.
That seems kind of nuts, but that's not that terrible. Okay, go ahead. What were you going to say?
Well, I was talking about Donovan Mitchell's comments on Evan Mobley and how, like, awesome it is to hear that, because I know we like to harp on other guys like Darius Garland, the 4 years he's been in the playoffs, but Evan's been in the playoffs for 4 years, too, and he kind of just gets a pass. And it's time for him, because I hear all his players sing praises for him. Hell, it seems like Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland are the reason why he won Defensive Player of the Year. I don't hear anything from Evan Mobley.
Because
I hear KG saying it's time for him to become more of a vocal guy last offseason. Now you're hearing it from Donovan Mitchell. I think it's time for Evan Mobley. Like, I don't see that these two guards want to not give Evan Mobley the ball. I just see at times Evan Mobley is timid and doesn't want to ask for the ball. Like, he needs to be more demonstrative.
I agree.
That's what all the big greats do that. I mean, think about it. KG had to tell Paul Pierce and Ray Allen, give me the ball. Shaq had to tell all the greats, give me the ball.
I agree, Kobe, but I think that's also, I think, Josh, that's also one of the reasons why we give him so much leeway. Is because he is a quiet guy, and we know that he has this world of possibilities, but he doesn't talk about it. He lets other people talk about it. But I just think we're reaching a point here where, yeah, you're right, and Donovan Mitchell's right as well, where we're getting to a put up or shut up time with this team and where they're at with what they've done. And I can't just expect LeBron James to fall out of the sky again. So if there's that, then yes, somebody's going to have to step up and be that true dominant force, and it's going to have to be Evan Mobley. Donovan can only do so much. He knows that.
Yeah, and it's also – maybe he's Tim Duncan. Maybe he's going to be a quiet leader. I don't know. I don't see that. I think he has more parallels to Kevin Garnett.
Yeah.
Like, be more effective in the mid-range. Find your spots. Play the, you know, trailing defensive spot like you do well. All that's great, but just find your mid-range spots. You heard Kevin Garnett talk about it. Like, the elites know the mid-range. They still take the mid-range shot. We should allow Evan Mobley to be like, hey, 15 feet, 18 feet. You like the look, take it. Like, there also has to be a coaching philosophy there, too. Like, Kenny has to, he can talk all that game, but we need to see actual, like, hey, like we did with Kevin Love early on. First quarter, let's give him all the shots and let's see where it's going on, especially with the silver lining of Darius Garland being out all probably the first month.
I agree, let's Josh. I agree, Josh. What's thank you very much
so,
for the call.
What's so funny, what's maybe more disheartening, is that all last year we talked about all these amazing plays and the sets and the way they utilize the bench and the rotations and Atkinson, his mastery over all of this. And then we got in the playoffs, it looked identical from the J.B. Bickerstaff teams, no different. So does that mean it's really on the players
in
the end?
I think it's a player thing. That's what, again, the Kevin thing, or excuse me, the Kenny thing compared to J.B., it made me realize that I was looking for reasons to let go of J.B. because we all thought that J.B. was going to be gone. So when you know he's going to be gone, you start to look for reasons why you don't like that guy anymore. J.B.'s a fine coach, so is Kenny Atkinson. I have to look in the direction of the players and go, are these the ones that can actually make it work? By the way, I kept thinking that Toronto, the Argos, played in the Sky Dome. They don't. They play at BMO Field, which holds about 25,000. So that 12,000 doesn't look as bad as the, as no, 28,180. So it doesn't look as bad as what you'd make it out to be then. Still not very great. So he can go play there, but he ain't going to play there. He's going to play right for the Cleveland Browns. Coming up in 5 minutes, you can say you're done, but you're still a Cleveland sports fan. You can't be quitting on the Guardians, can you? Even though they've made it easy, 5 minutes away on The Fan. I saw your pictures.
Did I?
You and the family. Oh, you didn't have a good fourth?
That's a very... It's just very, compared to the 4th of July festivities I used to take part in, some of it was gallivanting all over.
Babies wouldn't do beer bongs with you. Now it's not a good 4th.
I've done D.C. for the 4th. I've done Boston for the 4th. I've been in Miami for the 4th.
This was very different.
You're the worst person in the world.
Congratulations on all your success.
He is.
This little thing that you're doing right now is horrible.
It's so annoying.
We went outside for most of the days and just, we put some water in a little kiddie pool. We have a water table. We have a sink. The sink is pretty impressive. It just keeps filling itself. I mean, I'm pretty amazed. It's something like that. It sustains itself. The kids love that one.
You need to seek therapy. I'm mad at you.
The kids did love that one.
I really hate guts right now.
Of course, not. Did ruin the back lawn.
He just keeps moving. See, he always said,
been trampled over.
If you're going to perpetually find ways to make yourself miserable, guess what? You're going to be miserable. Yeah. Or maybe you're only happy when you're miserable. I'm not sure. Maybe you're only contented. Because if you sit there like, yeah, man, like I've spent 4th of July's.
There's a lot of hair pulling from the two kids.
Not and doing.
A lot of screaming.
Not in Boston and not in D.C. and not doing the God knows what that you've done for 4th of July. But I've had some good 4th of Julys before I had kids. Like, you have to adjust. You are going to have to adjust here or you're not going to be a happy camper whatsoever.
Mason got outside of the gate, but he was walking around barefoot, shirtless. I mean, we look like hillbillies.
No one
I mean,
that's,
it was it was a hillbilly setup.
No one made
that sounds like something that happens in South Bay. Absolutely.
No one made you get
South
married
Central
and have
Bay.
Kids. I thought I had a wonderful 4th of July.
Good.
I set off the fireworks. It was fantastic.
What time did you set them off?
Okay, it was a little later this year. It was about 9:15, 9:20. Usually I like to get everything started there at dusk. I don't want to go too late because it is it's a very sweaty proposition. I know at the end of it, it might be a 15 or a 20 minute display because it takes a while to get it all going and things like that. And it can only be one man or maybe two men depending on if my neighbors help me out. Friday I did have my one neighbor help me out, but I mean, you're sweating your ass off at the end of the show. And then you have to clean up afterwards, which now I finally got the kids to help clean all that stuff
up.
Is that the only
thing they're helping you with the show?
What else?
I totally forgot to bring this up to you guys.
What?
We had a spectacular show in Parma, as we do every year on 4th of July, that this year my brother-in-law and my son put on. He was in charge of the blowtorch. He was ready to go. He was part of the helping out.
We're not there yet. We're not there yet.
You have that kind of trust.
In this one, I do.
Well, yeah.
He's definitely... He minds his P's and Q's. He's ready to go. He has a checklist. He's ready to go every time.
You see,
there's one of them that you ain't getting that blowtorch, dude.
I got to tell you, as long as I'm kicking, I don't know if I'm really ever going to trust them with it.
Sometimes you got to let it go, man.
I guess, man. But damn, I find it very hard to trust other people around flammables.
Because at least it's fun again, and I don't sit there and be an old curmudgeon and go, "It was my babies all weekend. It sucked. I didn't get to go party with my friends in Miami."
He's going
to
do that no matter what. That's just the way he is. He sucks.
But doesn't Mason want to go on ski trips with his dad?
You were mad about there were too many fireworks at your place?
No, so
they lasted too long? No,
I'm asking the question because this certainly has definitely exploded past just, hey, we're having fireworks on July 4th. Nice pun. Now, it was... Honestly, in my neighborhood, and boy, did I see some videos, some awesome videos from certain areas, certain neighborhoods.
You watch videos of people they put up with their fireworks?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So you're the guy.
No. This was different. The one on the near west side of Cleveland, I mean, it made all the local affiliates. Like, this was a very homemade event right off the streets. Looks very dangerous. Looks borderline, like... Straight trip to the hospital.
Oh, wow.
Like, you're ready to roll. Was it like West 67th or what?
Okay. I didn't know that.
Right over there.
Look it up.
Yeah. It made all the different Cleveland Instagram sites or whatever. I'm like, man, the fire department, I don't know if they signed off on this one. But beyond that, July 4th was Friday, right?
Yeah.
The proceedings went on from Thursday straight into, I think, this morning. So my question to you is, what is too much? Because, you know, every year we do this topic, people bring up pets and children.
Uh-huh.
Right? They feel bad for the pets because the pets can't do anything.
Veterans.
And veterans come up as well. And so my question is, when is it too much? Like, I don't have a problem with it. My kids slept through it. My kids slept through it all weekend, so it wasn't a problem. My wife wasn't woken up to. When she would have woken up, I probably would have had a problem with it. She didn't. So it didn't bother me.
She knew their full 8 hours or we're all going to hear about it.
Eight. It seems like 10. So the Limas were fine. So I have no problem with it, but I definitely see the Facebook pages and they're like, boy, 4th of July turned into a whole month. So what is too much?
All right. So my thought was, because it was a weekend, Thursday, Friday, even Saturday. Sunday, people got to go work next day. Your 4th of July weekend is over, which I kind of felt bad about that yesterday. I go, man, 4th of July is a wonderful holiday, and now we're done, and we're moving on to the second half of the year. But I thought Thursday, Friday, Saturday, because we kicked around maybe setting them off on Saturday. By the time Friday came around, I go, nope, they're going off tonight. This is 4th of July. This is when we're doing it. They wanted to kick around doing it on Thursday in my neighborhood. I said, nah, let's just go to 4th of July. We'll do it that day. But that was it. There was one day, and that was it. And I didn't hear anything.
Really?
I don't think I heard anything on Thursday or Saturday.
Our community one was Thursday. We do ours on the 3rd every year. Bay's was on Saturday.
Yeah.
So then you had Friday, the actual day, right? But all the surrounding communities, I attended a party. You know, families on Saturday evening where the big draw was, hey, at 10 o'clock, we're setting them off. And we know this one neighbor likes to call the cops. Let's see how long we can go. And absolutely, at 17 minutes, we decided we're getting in the car and leaving. And as we got in the car, here came the cruisers. And I left. I don't know how it ended. Couldn't tell you. But I know they did have a chat.
Well, it's always like, how much longer are you guys going? Right. I think it's... Now, how late did you say it was?
10 o'clock. That's what time you do fireworks.
10 o'clock is the time you do fireworks.
Yeah, now, when I lived in Tremont, you would hear it right up until 2 in the morning.
Right.
I mean, every single time, well, around there.
That's the best thing about, besides everyone, we go to Parma on the 4th every year. Everyone around does it. But the even better thing is, like, 11 o'clock, we leave, and the whole drive home.
You can see it.
On I-90, up the Jennings and all on I-90 is just fireworks constantly. The haze of... the fireworks smoke that fills the air, and then looking to either side of the highway and seeing the fireworks, and it's a great time.
Back home, I just feel there is a sense in setting them off, a sense of responsibility. Not one I always had. I mean, when I was a teenager and into my early 20s, my buddy's brother, Brian, I mean, we'd set them off till 3-4 in the morning. Like, it wasn't a question of if the cops would come. It was how many times. And then by year 3... Perry police would come and go, if we got to come again, that's it. You know how this is going to go. If we get called here again, that's it. And 45 minutes later, sure as hell, they go, that's it. Get the hell out of here.
So
but
what
nobody's
is,
getting cited the first time, right?
Yeah. I guess my question is, what is the line? Because we're all celebrating America, right? But it's going to come directly at the expense of your neighbors.
Well, you want to celebrate America, but you don't want to use that as an excuse to be an a-hole. That's something I had to learn as I got older.
Well, this year is a little less, right? Because it was on Friday, so you had the wraparounds of Thursday and Saturday, yes. And then everybody gets... Next year, it's on Saturday. Are there people going to go Sunday evening? Because people are going back to work Monday morning. That's where it really... I think last night, if you were doing it last night, you were the a-hole. Like, it was...
Sunday night, going
back to work.
Yeah, that's just a non... How many were
you... Plus, it's 2 days, you know, after
the main event. I have to applaud the people that still had some left in the arsenal.
Uh-huh.
Like, how do you ration that? Like, how do you decide, not going to set these
unless
off on the
end of the... Unless you went and got the... I don't know if they do it like they do Christmas candy, where you get the deep discounts on December 28th.
Oh, there you go. Anything.
Or maybe you got deep discounts.
Everything must go sale. So, well, I still have another night of partying, well, right?
Does the gunpowder go bad?
What if you have like a few of the extra ones as well? Like if it's just like on like a Sunday, you hear pew, bah, like that and that's it. Like someone just set off their like, oh, I have a bottle rocket I just found. I think that's okay. But if you're setting off whole displays... I mean, congratulations, you ain't got to work on a Monday, but my God, that's, no. It's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, but I'm telling you, the only time I heard him, and it was all throughout Streetsboro, was on Friday night. I didn't hear any on Saturday.
The way the weekend went, that my neighbors could have set him off in my bedroom, and last night by 9 o'clock, I was not hearing anything.
Yeah. It was an early bed for me last night. LeBron is sending out, he was partying during 4th of July, he's sending out more of these messages. All right, go ahead. Tell me about what this was, because I everybody kept sending me a picture of, who was that, Allie Clifton, mm-hmm. who used to be here, and she was in a Cavs jersey, and who was the kid sitting next to her? There was some guy sitting next to her also in I imagine it was a LeBron jersey, a Cavs jersey, and this was local?
Well, it was
on one of the lakes? Where was this at? This is from LeBron's account?
Yeah, well, it was not only that. He apparently has been working out really all week at the Cavs practice facility, which I got to be honest, I didn't even know that was legal. Now, he said he took to Twitter to say, you know, come on, guys, you're wasting your time. I do this every year.
Okay.
I'm like, I feel like we would have seen those pictures every year.
No, you don't. You don't post them. You don't do that every year. You don't post welcome home hats and you're playing golf at Portage Lakes. You don't post that you're on the Portage Lakes or wherever the hell you were with people who used to work for the Cavs and now work what the Lakers television spectrum over there in Los Angeles. You don't post those pictures every single year. At least that because how I know you don't is because people would try to make it a big deal every single year. Every single year. All right, he's already thinking about coming home. He's already thinking about Cleveland. So you can't say you do that every year. He might work out in Cleveland every year. I'll grant him that. But the other stuff, don't tell me you're not trying to get my attention. And I'm talking me being the fans' attention, everybody's attention. Don't tell me you ain't trying to get our attention to get us to talk about you. That's the most LeBron move I've ever seen.
Is he trying to get us to talk about him, or is he trying to get the Lakers' attention?
He's trying to get everyone. The Lakers have their own decisions. I mean, they could try to trade him if they wanted to, or they could say, you signed in for $52.6 million. Damn it, you're going to play for $52.6 million. I think he's trying to get the conversation going, and maybe he's trying to get some conversation started about getting a trade, or at least making the Lakers appreciate him a little bit more. If Rich Paul feels that they don't have the want for right now and the want to compete right now and that they're only building for the future, well, obviously LeBron, there's not very much of a future, so he'd like to start that conversation. But he ain't posting stuff in Maverick stuff or Heat stuff or anything else. He's posting stuff in Cleveland stuff because I think that's the only place he would ever want to go back to. I do believe he is keenly aware. I know he's mentioned the Kevin Durant situation before. I do believe he's keenly aware of legacy. And how if you add just another jersey on top of that, a different jersey, it does come off very Charles Barkley, Karl Malone, at the end of your career, holding on for dear life. He played with one of those guys holding on for dear life, and Shaquille O'Neal for crying out loud. I think he's very aware of that. I think there's two places he'd be willing to play, Los Angeles, and I don't think he's very thrilled with Los Angeles, and in Cleveland. And I think he just wants people to have that conversation just to see if there is any grease on the rail that would get something like that machine moving again. I do believe it wholeheartedly. I think that he knows he's at the twilight of his career, and maybe he's ready to come home a third time. Well, you don't just post this stuff out of nowhere. I don't care.
This has got to be such a bizarre scenario for somebody who has had all the leverage, not only over his cities, his teams, but the entire NBA. And this is the first time he doesn't really have that. He is over there. That team is built around another guy and not him. Like, the Lakers are talking about the future revolving around Luka. They are not talking about the future revolving around LeBron. And they didn't have a new contract for him. He only could pick up his option on this year. Yes. He's going to make like 50-some million. And so that was it. He's out of options, really, outside of making things uncomfortable, which, of course, he's been able to do throughout his entire career. That's about the only lever he has to pull and to try to see how comfortable the Lakers are with any of that. So this has got to be weird for LeBron, who still was amazing last year. Second team All-NBA, I said he was easily one of the top 10 players in the league last year.
Well,
he was durable. He was there, you know, game in and game out. Now, he maybe some load management on the defensive side, certainly. You can understand that at this stage of his career.
But there's no, I don't think there's a doubt about that he's trying to get this conversation started with everybody. And in so many ways, you know, if I was him, I'd have to say in so many ways, rightfully so, because no one wants to admit that it's almost over. They can see it, but they don't want to admit it. And everybody wants to be wanted. And I know you, everybody knows for a fact that he's a guy who loves being wanted. 216-474-0092. All right, Matt Derry coming up at 8:01. Coming up in 5 minutes on About Last Night, Luis Ortiz was dealing like Doyle Brunson. Allegedly. Ken Carmen, Anthony Lyman, take us with you to work on the free Odyssey app.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.